We look at a hopeful hint from America's labor market. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The government revised upward its assessment of the economy this morning. Gross domestic product for October to December increased from a 2.4% annualized rate of growth to 2.6. Let's consult Diane Swonk, as is our Thursday tradition here. She is chief economist at Mesirow Financial in Chicago. Morning, Diane.
Good morning.
So a fillip, a bit of a tick upward for gross domestic product. Big news, do you think?
Well, not as big a news. It just sort of affirms what we already knew, and that was we did have a little strength in the second half of the year and a little overhang in inventories. But overall, this is still momentum in the U.S. economy at the end of the year anyways. The more important issue is the jobless claims, which we don't usually talk about, but I think they're actually important today.
They're quite volatile, but I see for this last week they fell to a four-month low.
And actually, their four-month moving average fell to a six-month low. And what's important about that is that 6 months ago, hard to remember back then, that was before the government shutdowns and before we had all this horrific weather, we're now starting to see some normalization. The weather actually did take a toll on the economy, and now it's going the other direction. May not be soon enough for the March employment report, but I think the trend is now going to be positive, and that's something to look forward to as this weather thaws.
Diane Swonk, chief economist, Mesirow Financial. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
A regional director of the National Labor Relations Board has ruled that football players at Northwestern University in Chicago work for the school, keyword work, and so are allowed to form a union, keyword union. This has already sparked dismay from the College Athletics Association. Marketplace's Noel King is with us. Noel, Peter Orr of the NLRB says there's no doubt these players are employees. How did he arrive at this conclusion?
Well, he based that ruling on a few things. First, it only applies to scholarship students, and a scholarship, he said, is a form of payment. If you get paid, you're an employee. And he focused on the control that coaches exert over where athletes go and how they dress and who they can interact with on social media. The ruling mentioned, for example, that Northwestern players cannot refuse a Facebook friend request from a coach, or said all of this adds up to a work relationship. But for now, one thing left out of this work relationship is money. The top priority for the athletes is health benefits if they're injured playing. Right now, those benefits cut off not long after they graduate, which is the kind of thing a union could fight against.
So can they now organize a union?
No, for the moment, the ruling is open to appeal, and Northwestern says it will appeal to the Federal Labor Board in Washington. Some analysts say this could end up in the Supreme Court. And the ruling only applies to players at private colleges. So if you're at one of the big state schools, you're governed by state labor law, which usually makes it harder to unionize. But, you know, the example's been set, and there's a feeling that this is another big win in the fight by some people to get the NCAA to change its policies on student athletes.
Marketplace's Noel King. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Every morning, more than 20,000 people leave Santa Cruz County, California, and drive over a big mountain to get to work in Silicon Valley, the location of a $700 billion industry. Santa Cruz has a great university, a gorgeous coast, and it would very much like to nurture a bigger tech culture locally. Rowan Moore Garrity reports.
Apple juice or fruit punch?
It's a rare morning when Allison Holmland is home to help her husband get their kids ready for school.
If I leave before 5:45, I can make it in about an hour.
Holmland commutes 48 miles to Redwood City to work for a software startup called Host Analytics. In the car on a Monday morning, she explains why.
Having those, call it 3 hours of my day back would be huge. But I'm not at the point where I would sacrifice a phenomenal opportunity at a hot startup, which is where I'm at today.
By phenomenal opportunity, she means equity, the chance to own a piece of a company that might pay off like Instagram or WhatsApp. She says Santa Cruz's tech industry doesn't match Silicon Valley's salaries or its intense workplace culture. Over the years, companies like Netflix and Seagate started in Santa Cruz County, then migrated to Silicon Valley. But the local tech ecosystem is growing.
5 years ago, really had to, like, beg to get people here.
That's Doug Erickson. He's a regular at a tech meetup sponsored by the Santa Cruz Office of Economic Development. Close to 100 people showed up to the event in February.
Single, there we go.
Later, the commuters fill out a survey designed to find out what it would take to make them stay in Santa Cruz.
54.
The man behind the survey is venture capitalist Bud Colligan. He's lived in Santa Cruz for 18 years, but he didn't always invest here. In December, Colligan started a group called the Central Coast Angels with 20 Silicon Valley veterans who live in Santa Cruz.
It's people from Google, Symantec, Apple, Palm.
He says Silicon Valley doesn't need any more angel investors.
You know, there's 1,000 angels over the hill. That's not somewhere where we're going to have a dramatic impact. But here we could have a dramatic impact.
In Santa Cruz, I'm Rowan Moore Garrity for Marketplace.
And one of the legacies of the great financial bailout 5 years ago is that some big banks can't just hand money back to their shareholders whenever they want to. Citigroup, for instance, has to ask permission from the Federal Reserve. The Fed's verdict? No. Regulators want Citigroup to revise its plans for weathering the next downturn before letting the bank increase the dividends it pays. The news came as a surprise, and Citigroup stock was down about 5% in early trading. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.